and the glory forever. Amen. At an all-inclusive resort, this is probably one of the best resorts you can ever go to. And the reason that it's so great when you get to an all-inclusive resort is because you don't have to worry about anything. Everything is already taken care of. When you get off the cruise ship, when you get out of the car, or however you get there, they shower you with love, with gifts, and you don't have to pay for any of it. It costs you nothing when you get there. You don't have to worry about money at an all-inclusive resort. You don't have to worry about paying for your dinners at an all-inclusive resort. If you choose to go out on the ocean to parasail or to ski, you don't have to worry about carrying money anywhere. And the reason that you don't have to worry about carrying money at an all-inclusive resort is because before you got there, the price had already been paid. You had already made your reservations. You had already paid the full amount of money, no matter how much it cost. So when you get to the resort, the burden of finances is no longer on you, so that you can enjoy the trip that you have dreamed of taking. The price that was paid for humanity was Jesus Christ on the cross. Through his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus paid it all. And he paid it all so that those who trust in him and those who follow him and those who call him Lord and Savior can live an all-inclusive type of life. A life free from worry. A life free from trouble. A life free from harm. Because we trust the fact that Jesus Christ paid it all. And especially in the area of our finances, God wants us to live on this earth with an all-inclusive mentality. To the point where as we walk day to day, we don't have a worry in the area of our finances. And so for part two, as we discuss and kind of unearth what it means to be overcomers and obstacles in our lives, we want to talk about overcoming obstacles in finances. Call your attention to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, as we talk about overcoming obstacles in finances. Now, Jesus makes an exact statement regarding the issue of finances in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, when he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Jesus makes an exact statement and leads with this, saying, don't worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will put into your mouth. Do not worry about getting your belly full. Do not worry about what you will drink or even what you will wear. He says, do not worry. Well, I think this is easier said and done than done today in our current context with all of the issues that are going on with finances here in the 21st century. You see, it's easy to think about that, or rather it's hard to think about that when you look at how we're trying to emerge in this country from the worst financial crisis to hit America since the Great Depression. It's hard not to worry when there is increasing inequality between the rich and the poor in society. It's hard to worry about these things when there are struggles over laws on immigration and foreign policy. It is difficult to not worry over these things when we're debating whether or not to cut funding in Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. in order to meet the budget in this great nation. It's difficult not to worry about these things when there is an overwhelming number of foreclosures happening in our country. It's difficult not to worry about these things when the rate of homelessness is steadily increasing each and every day. It's hard to worry about, not to worry about these things when funding is being cut in many educational sectors that affect the present and the future of our young people. It's very difficult not to worry about what we will eat or what we will drink or about our way of life when all of these things that affect each and every one of us on a day-to-day basis are happening. You turn on the news and you hear about the financial crisis and all these things that are going on that affect your way of life. But Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, Jesus then goes on to give assurance as to why we should not worry about these things. Verse 26, he says, the reason that you should not worry about these things, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Look at the birds. They just fly around all day long. They don't have to worry about food. They don't have to worry about sustenance. I feed them. I take care of them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In other words, Jesus is saying, what you worrying about? Why are you worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, watch this, for the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Two things that we need to underscore here that Jesus brings up about worrying. The first thing is that Jesus calls worrying an issue of faith. He first calls worrying an issue of faith. Verse 30, he says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, what you worrying about? All the stuff that's going on. If you have faith in me, if you have faith in my almighty power, if you know that I am able to supply all your needs, if you know what I've done for you time and time again, if you know that I've always clothed you, I've always fed you, you never had to do without anything, you never had to do without your children getting all the things that they needed, if I've always done this for you, then what you worrying about? So he calls it first an issue of faith. Secondly, he calls into question worrying being an issue of priority. Verse 32, he says, for the pagans, in other words, those who are not in relationship with me, run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He says, look, the pagans prioritize their material things over and above a relationship with me. In other words, he's saying that those who are not in relationship with me worry about material things more than they do anything else in the world. If they have a lack of resources, if they have a lack of funding, if they have a lack of food, if they have a lack of clothing, if they aren't driving the nicest vehicle or staying in the nicest home, then they begin to worry. And so he calls into question an issue of priority. Where are your priorities? As people of faith, are we more concerned about the clothes, the cars, the money, the material things over and above our relationship with Christ? And in other words, Jesus is saying here, the pagans, those who are not in relationship with me, worry so much about these things that they neglect their relationship with me. So friends, he's saying to us today that if we are going to be in right relationship with him, then our mindset cannot be fixated on material things over and above our relationship with Jesus Christ. It just cannot happen. And so that's where worrying comes in. He calls it first an issue of faith, secondly an issue of priority. Then Jesus gives us the grand answer. He gives us the answer to financial security. Isn't that what we all want in this country? We want to be financially secure. We want to make sure that we have enough to provide for our family, enough to provide for ourselves, enough to live what many call the American dream. We want to be financially secure. Well, he gives us the answer, verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now notice what he does not mention here. Jesus, in giving this great sermon, does not mention building up your bank account so that you can have more money and be financially secure. He does not place top priority on material resources as the means for financial security. It's genius what he does. Watch what he does. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, those things that are needed for life, all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus correlates financial security, being secure in your finances, with being secure in your soul. Let me repeat that one more time. He correlates, meaning he makes reference to, being financially secure, overcoming obstacles in your finances, being in a place where you can provide. He correlates that with having security in your soul and seeking the kingdom first. You see, it's often noted in our country that once we achieve this standard of excellence in our finances, once we have this much money in our 401k, once we've earned this much on our job, once we're making this salary, what we then say is that I am financially secure. So then what I can do is I can go out and I can splurge when I want to splurge. I can save how much I want to save. I can provide for my children their education. I can go out and get what I want. At the same time, while we are placing so much priority on securing our finances through material means and being financially secure through material means, our soul is being neglected. We aren't studying God's word enough. We aren't reaching out to our neighbors who are in need enough. We aren't coming to Bible study. We aren't going to church. Our job supersedes our relationship with Christ. Why? Because we feel as if we work more, or if we work more and build more wealth, then financial security will come. But what happens when the economy falls? What happens when jobs begin to be lost? What happens when you lose a home? But you have stored up all these things, as we'll see in a moment, all these treasures on earth, all these things that make the tangible, physical, material things more important than the relationship with Christ. You've been putting so much priority on these things and not enough on seeking the kingdom. And so Jesus says, once you seek the kingdom, once you have your mind fixed on me as your ultimate priority, then everything else you need, I will provide. So the question then becomes, how do we seek first the kingdom of God in the midst of all these things? You know, so much is going on in the world. You see it each and every day. You experience it. You live it. You stress over it. We all stress over it. We see people suffering. We see people hurting. We see people going through. So how in the world are we supposed to seek the kingdom of God first in the midst of all of this turmoil? Well, the way that we seek this, and this is something that's individualistic. You know, there are certain things that we can do as a community, but Jesus is saying here that you have to seek the kingdom of God for yourself first. That this is something that you as an individual, you as a Christian, you as a born-again believer have to seek the kingdom of God for yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. Young people, your parents cannot stand in the gap for you. They cannot seek the kingdom of God for you. You have to do it on your own. Those of you who are older in age, your children cannot seek the kingdom of God for you. You've got to seek it for yourself. He says, if you are going to seek the kingdom of God first, when you do that, then I'll add all these other things. So how do we seek the kingdom of God, you ask? I believe that it starts with a critical assessment of yourself. It takes each and every one of us looking at where we are. Watch this. Looking at where we are on our spiritual journey first. And that takes asking the hard questions. Do I pray like I should pray? Do I prioritize my life like I should prioritize my life? What do I love than material things? Do I love God more than material things? Or is most of my love for material things? So it takes doing a critical assessment of yourself. Now, what you ask, you may ask, well, Kevin, what areas do I need to assess myself in? If I'm going to seek this kingdom of God that Jesus Christ is talking about here, what areas in my life do I need to assess? Well, let me tell you. Firstly, the first area that you need to assess yourself in is assess where most of your love and resources go. Assess where you or what you love the most and what you give the most time, the most energy to, and the most money to. Watch what he says in verse 19. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where, watch this, your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Wherever you put most of your love, your time, your money, and your resources. Wherever you put your love, your time, your money, and your resources. Wherever you put most of your time, your money, your love, and your resources. Should I say it one more time? Wherever you put your love, your money, your time, and your resources. Wherever you put the most of those things, that is where your heart is. And you can take that to the bank. Because if you truly believe in this cause, over and above this cause, you will put your time, your energy, your effort, and your money and your resources into that cause. No matter how good you think the other cause is. And I would even venture to say that most people put more time, energy, love, money, and resources into those tangible, material things that will fade away rather than a relationship with Christ. Rather than giving back to the church. Rather than giving back to the mission of the church. And this is not an assumption that I'm making. This is evident. And if it was not evident, how is the church declining over the United States and the world? We have all these churches on these corners. We have all of these preachers who have been called by God into this ministry. We have all these lay folk who are serving or supposed to be serving diligently. Well, if that's the case, why is there so much trouble in the world? If that's the case, why are churches struggling to keep their doors open? I ask the questions. And the question, and the only answer, rather, that I can come up with is that God's people, those who have been called to carry out the mission of the church, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and the transformation of the world, is that we spend so much time trying to become like the world rather than to win the world. And as an old mentor of mine, Reverend Walter Bowie, back in Jackson, Mississippi, used to tell me, he said, Kevin, son, he used to call me, he says, it's very dangerous when the church has to become more like the world to win the world. It's a very dangerous thing. When we begin to put our priority into those material, tangible things that will fade away, rather than the spiritual growth of God's people, then our priorities are mixed up. So Jesus Christ here is saying that if you're going to seek this kingdom, the first area in your life that you need to assess is where most of your love and your resources go. But secondly, he says that if you're going to seek this kingdom, you need to assess what light shines more. Does the spotlight shine more in your life, or in other words, the light that will light up a room, or does the night light shine more? The light that is consumed by darkness. Now, it's very interesting if you read verses 22 through 23 that there are two types of light that he mentions here. In other words, he's saying that, you know, there is a bright light that shines and there's also a dark light that shines. Watch this, verse 22. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Meaning, if that which is in your soul is good, that which is in your spirit is good, it will come out through your actions. Verse 23. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If those things that you look upon those fleshly, those material desires, if those things, you look upon them, you begin to love them, you begin to give them your resources, you begin to count on them over and above your relationship with Christ, if those things you focus on the most get into your soul, watch what will happen. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, a dark light, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Watch what he says. He says, if I look upon those things that are good, if I look upon the splendor and the glory that is God, if I look upon my relationship with Jesus Christ, if I look upon service to others, if I look upon storing my treasures in the kingdom, if I look upon doing what is good and pleasant in the eyes of God, then that will come out in how I live. It will come out in my lifestyle. I will be the light of the world. Pam and Ellen and others come down here each and every Sunday, and they light these beautiful candles up here on our altar table. And what that signifies is that the light of the world is coming into the sanctuary. When they take it and they leave back out, that means the light of the world is going out. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is in the world. We know that Jesus Christ has come into the world. But we who are Christians, those individuals who are to be the agents of change, who serve Jesus Christ, are not supposed to leave our light right here on the altar. But when the light of Christ goes out into the world, we then follow that light of Christ into the world. So therefore, everything that we look upon in our day-to-day walk, everything that we fill our hearts, our minds, our souls with, will come out in our actions. And if you fill your heart and your soul with darkness, if you fill your heart and your soul and look upon those things materialistically and love them over and above a relationship with Jesus Christ, then that will also come out in your lifestyle. So Christ is saying, if we're going to seek the kingdom of God, we've got to assess what light shines more. You have got to assess for yourself, does my material light shine more, or does the light of Christ shine more? In my conversations, do I talk about stuff more, or am I always saying how good God has been to me in spite of the things that I do or do not have? Thirdly and finally, that if we're going to seek this kingdom of God, Christ says that we need to assess where the majority of your devotion is. Now, it's one thing to give of our love towards something and our resources, to assess what light shines more if we are living a life of light or a life of darkness. But then Christ says, you need to assess where the majority of your devotion lies. Where are you most devoted? Who are you most devoted to? What are you most devoted to? Verse 24, watch this. It says, no one can serve two masters. You've got to make a choice. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, how do you assess where your devotion is? Firstly, you look at your service. You look at your service. Where do you serve the most? Do you serve at the mall the most? Do you serve at Macy's the most? Do you serve at JCPenney the most? Do you serve online shopping the most, giving your money and your resources to the consumerist mentality of this country? Do you give it all to the malls? Do you give it all to cars? Do you give it all to clothes? Do you give it all to money? Where does most of your service go? And he calls here service devoting yourself to God or to money. Now, if you are devoted to money, then you are going to serve money's cause, which is to be spent and which is to buy so that you can consume. You're serving money's cause. But if you are serving others and giving back to the community, if you are serving others through various means, whether it's the local church, whether it's through community service, if you're serving others, then you can pretty much determine where your devotion lies. Am I more devoted to spending money? Am I more devoted to putting my trust in material wealth for my financial security, for overcoming my obstacles in my finances? Or am I seeking God's kingdom first and trusting that all of these things will be added unto me. Well, you ask, Kevin, why should I worry? Why should I not worry, rather, about obstacles in my finances? Why should I not? You don't know where I am financially right now. You don't know that I lost my job, a job that I had loved working for 20-something years. You don't know that it's hard on my family. I can't put my child through school. You don't know that we're on the verge of losing our home because all of these things in our finances, all these obstacles in our finances are occurring. I need to get my car fixed. I can't even drive my car to work because I don't have enough money to get fixed. So why should I not worry about obstacles in my finances? Jesus gives us this answer in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough worry, or will worry rather about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, Jesus is saying, if worry is primary, then you cannot seek the kingdom effectively. He says, worrying, and each and every day has enough worrying of its own. And what he's saying is, if you are going to serve me, if you are going to seek me, you've got to trust me. You may not know where the money's going to come from. You may not know how the resources are going to come. You may not know where the materials are going to come from. But God says, in spite of all of that, you trust me. In spite of what's going on, in spite of what you're going through, in spite of how bad it looks, you trust me. Because if I clothe the lilies of the field, if I feed the birds of the air, if I take care of all these animals and all these things, all these rodents and things that are running around here, are you not more important than they? Will I not trust? Will I not take care of you? But you have to trust me unconditionally. Now watch this. Trusting me means that you cannot worry. Because worrying and trusting me are in direct conflict with one another. I cannot pray to God. I cannot have a committed and genuine prayer life and a genuine walk with Jesus Christ, and I get down on my knees each and every day of my life and pray to God for all these things to change, and then 5 minutes later, get up and start worrying about it. I cannot tell people that God is a way maker. I cannot tell people that God will make a way out of no way. Why? Because he's already done it time and time again. I cannot tell people that and then turn around 20 minutes later and start worrying about this phone bill that I don't have enough money in my bank account to pay. I cannot worry and trust God at the same time. For worry and trust are in direct conflict with one another. So he's saying, friends, if you are going to get through these obstacles in your finances, and we know it's all hard. We know it's hard on everyone today. But if you're going to get through these things, you got to trust me. You got to trust me because I've always provided. In closing, there was a man in Germany by the name of Dr. Adolf Merkle. Some of you all may remember this gentleman. He was one of the richest people in the world. And he was so rich, in fact, Forbes magazine ranked him number 94 in 2008 at a net worth of $9.2 billion. His family controlled businesses in Germany, a number of them, including a pharmaceutical company and a cement maker known as Heidelberg Cement. He had 100,000 employees and boasted an annual sale of $41 billion. That's a lot of money. In fact, he was awarded his nation's highest honor in 2005, and he says that he also enjoyed skiing and mountain climbing. It seems that this is as if this gentleman, this doctor, had achieved everything someone in life could achieve. Everything he could possibly want. Could buy anything that he wanted. It was a turning point in his life in which this gentleman became severely depressed. Because in 2008, his business empire ran into trouble in the ongoing global economic crisis. And this gentleman lost more than $500 million in sales. It's recorded on January the 5th, 2009, Dr. Merkle committed suicide. And a suicide note was found, and its contents were not revealed, but his family put out this statement. They said, Adolf Merkley lived and worked for his family and his firms. The distress of his firms caused by the financial crisis and the related uncertainties of recent weeks, along with the helplessness of no longer being able to act, broke the passionate family businessman and ended his life. Of course, he left behind his wife and 4 children. An overwhelming story, one that we have heard so many times due to financial struggles in one's life. This gentleman had any and everything that he wanted out of life, materialistically. He could have bought any home. He could have bought any car. To many, he had financial security. And his financial security was in the fact that he had so much money. But when the money ran out, when the money was no longer there, sadly, this gentleman had nothing else to stand on. And friends, that is a mistake that many of us often make, is that we look at the obstacles in our finances, and what we begin to say is, oh, Lord, have mercy, I cannot make it. I cannot go beyond where I am because I don't have enough money in my bank. I don't have enough material possessions. I don't have the amount of material possessions that this person has or that person has. So therefore, I cannot make it. And what God is telling us, that when these things begin to happen, even if the financial climate in this country gets worse, even if more people lose jobs and more people lose homes, that God's people are always called to seek ye first the kingdom. Financial security, my friends, does not lie in how much wealth or money we accumulate. But according to Jesus, it is dependent on our relationship with Him, because He provides all that we need. So friends, today, I don't know where you are in your finances. I don't know if you are having obstacles that you are dealing with. But my encouragement to you today is seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, all of His right living. And God will take care of you. For if He took care of the birds of the air, beasts of the field, if He even clothed the lilies, He asks you this question: are you not more important than they? Let us pray. God, how grateful we are for the ability to overcome. And we overcome, O Lord, because You overcame on the cross, that we might live an all-inclusive lifestyle.